Hello everyone, welcome to episode 81 of Crick Picks. I'm your host Varun Alvakonda. I'm joined by Saurabh Samani and Shayan Ahmed Khan again. And today's Crick Picks is on the Sachin Tendulkar sandwich chess team. So we did something similar with Jimmy. Essentially, it's players who've debuted after Sachin and who played their last test match before Sachin retires. So I know official retirements are a bit shaky in modern day cricket, but just for this purposes of this, it's your last test has to be before Sachin Tendulkar. So if you're not familiar with the how Crick Picks works, it's a snake snail draft where the order goes 1-2-3 and 3-2-1. In today's episode, the order is Saurabh, then me, and then Shayan. So Saurabh, go for the first pick.
Yeah, so first pick, I think a pretty safe one and a player I hugely liked watching, Brian Lara. And also the guy who Sachin was compared to most often during his career for who is the better, who's the greatest batter of the era. So, yeah, and when I was looking at the stats, I was quite surprised to see that, Lara debuted just after Sachin. I think Sachin came at the end of 89. Lara was 1990 or something. But he, of course, retired much before Sachin. So,
yeah, 2007.
And when he retired, he could have played a couple of years more, maybe.
Yeah, that's probably because of like his issues with the cricket board, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Retired 2007, came and played ICL in 2008. So then, but
do you think
played
Lara for, say,
is my
Australia
pick.
Or England, he would have played more or no?
Yeah,
because even they don't have very long careers always. So if he played in the subcontinent,
they
he might
have
had
a
longer
lot
career.
Yeah. Now, if it's subcontinent, Sachin and Lara would have retired together. That's weird.
Exactly. It would have been India West Indies series. No, Lara would have been playing that series, Sachin's retirement series. It would have been.
Correct. Correct, yeah. I wish he was, but didn't play. That would have been cinema. Yeah. Both of them retired at the same time.
Yeah. That would be iconic.
Yeah.
There was a chance for Callis and Callis and Sachin could have retired together if Sachin played in that 2013-14 South Africa tour. That could have been iconic.
Unfortunately, Callis is ineligible for this because he played 1 month later than Sachin.
That's true. So I think the South African series was supposed to be his last one, but then they scheduled
the West Indies in because they wanted a home farewell and all that. Obviously you need to send him off with a win, right? You can't guarantee that while playing South Africa away, so you bring West Indies here, win. So Varun, your pick.
I'm gonna go Glenn McGrath.
Of course.
Like self-explanatory, isn't it? Like,
arguably
the greatest fast bowler of all time.
Phenomenal
bowler. Yeah. I think thankfully for us, he retired before Sachin and debuted after him for the purposes of this.
That's it. Made it much easier. Yeah, absolutely.
Much easier for us again. Yeah, it's interesting. Even like, what do you call it? With Lara, I think a lot of people would say like, a lot of batters actually probably rate Lara more than Sachin, which is quite interesting. And then I love Glenn. And McGrath is like, I don't want to say McGrath's forgotten, but he's forgotten. Mm. He's underrated for how good he was, like, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think, like we're saying, he's the greatest bowler of all time, and I still think he's underrated at times.
Lara, I think with Lara, the thing was, his peaks were actually higher than Sachin's peaks. But Sachin maintained such a high level of excellence throughout, which Lara wavered a lot more. He was a lot more volatile.
Like, on his day, Lara could possibly win you, like, play a better knock on a given day, but Sachin would do it time and time again. That is what made him the player he was, right? And not to say that Sachin couldn't play great knocks himself. It's just that Lara had a lot of those, like, a lot of iconic
ones. Look at the fear in Shayan's eyes. He was afraid of the Sachin fans going up for him.
I thought Shayan is quickly giving disclaimer that no.
Like the fear.
Don't come at me.
You're not very good. Sachin was a terrible test batter, Shayan. That's how we should be doing this.
I mean, the guy was like the only guy with a case for number one is not. Like, remember when people were saying that, okay, Sachin and Viv Richards were being picked too late in the previous one? It's like, this is not a quick fix, guys. Yeah. Relax. This was just a team. Just three teams. So, coming back to my picks, I think I will also go with two Australians. I'll go with Shane Warne and I'll go with Adam Gilchrist. I think we have... I think both of those players are very deserving to be on this. And, of course, there is another great spinner that is going to be in the conversation for it. And there is another great keeper as well. And I think we might be able to fit both of them if we really, plan the team accordingly.
I have both of them. I have both of them anyway.
Yeah, so I think absolutely Shane Warne, there is nothing much to be said about Shane Warne. He is possibly the greatest spin bowler of all time. For me, he is the greatest spin bowler of all time. Of course, as I've said many times, I have a leg spin bias because I myself bowl leg spin. I like watching leg spin. So Shane Warne is the greatest for me. And then after Shane Warne, of course, Adam Gilchrist is the one that he's like, he would have been you know, like Rishabh Pant's sort of a player back then. And that is just absolutely incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
Saurabh can tell us more about what Gilchrist felt like watching him live. What was that experience like? Because I could only catch up a bit of him in the IPL.
Yeah, but thanks for showing how old I am, Shan. But but yeah, Gilchrist was quite something. I mean, we discussed this off air that they have been teams who have picked keepers for their batting skill more than their keeping skill. But it was not such a set in stone sort of thing. Gilchrist came and completely changed that, I think. I think after Gilchrist, nobody wanted a keeper who couldn't bat. Yeah. So that batting became like such an important thing. Like it was obviously runs are always important, but Gilchrist made it, you know, that much higher. And I still don't think there has been an equivalent of him. You know, a guy, Rishabh Pant could get there batting wise, I'm saying. But a guy who could come in at five down and then blast like a runner ball century almost, no?
Yeah.
It's just, it's incredible what he could do, what he brought to that Australian side. And not to forget, he was keeping to Shane Warne, you know, and pretty competently. So his keeping was also quite top class.
Yeah, absolutely. I think even in the Australian team, right?
So even in the Australian team, everyone's like, oh, well, they're so fast scoring. If you look at the other strikers, they're not actually that fast. Even for their, they're like above average. But Gilly is the one that was a complete outlier in terms of strike rate, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Him and maybe another batter who probably is in the team. Is that, what is it? Yes. 87, 85? Yeah, it was 80s.
Was he quicker than Sehwag? Definitely was. I think he was not quicker than Sehwag.
I thought he was just quicker than him.
I think Gilchrist would have been like 82, 83.
They were pretty,
I might have to check.
Pretty close together.
Yeah. And didn't he have the record for the most sixes also at some point? Does he still have it? Most sixes in test matches.
Yeah, so his strike rate test is 82.
Yeah. Most test sixes.
Hmm? Oh, it's 82. Okay.
Yeah, so Gilchrist has the third most sixes. You're right. Stokes is number one. Second is Baz, of course. And then there is Gilchrist. Yeah. So third most sixes in test match cricket. Strike rate of nearly 82. Average 47.6.
Okay, so he and Sehwag are separated by just decimal points. Test match strike rate.
Yeah.
He's 81.95 and Sehwag is 82.23. Yeah. So it's, just that much.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm next, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're next.
I'm going to go Murali.
Yeah.
I'm going Murali, man. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. The second greatest spinner. For this team, he's probably the 12th man. Horrible 12th man, of course, because he can't. I don't think he was a good fielder.
But I think we can still fit both of them if we really plan it in a certain way.
I don't have both of them in the same team. Nah, there's too many holes if you put both of them in the same team, I think.
No, if you play in Asia, then...
In Asia, of course, you play both.
In Asia, of course.
Yeah.
But
of course, you would have both.
Even otherwise, I think.
That's why I'm missed 12th.
I think it'll be interesting how the combination shape up. But I think we can fit in.
You're thinking differently already. I can tell that already.
Yeah.
I've got two picks right now. I'll go for safe choices only. I'll go Ricky Ponting. I think Ponting definitely makes the sandwich team. Is he the other batter you were talking about who could score fast? Or was that the opener?
No, that was Sehwag.
So I'm picking Ponting to bat at, I don't know, he could bat at four also in this team. And I think I'll pick Sean Pollock. We need an all-rounder sort of guy. I mean, not an all-rounder, but we need Sean Pollock will be this team's Shardul Thakur. He'll bat at eight and he can offer something with the bat.
Will he bat at eight?
And that is the first and only time that Sean Pollock and Shardul Thakur have been compared, and Crick Picks has the honor of doing that. So, but yeah, I think he has to bat at eight. No, you have Warne, Woodley, and McGrath.
I have an interesting take. I think Pollock can bat at seven.
Oh, okay. You want to pick one more bowler? Yeah, then he could bat at seven.
Five bowlers.
And
with Gilchrist at six.
I like the way you think, Shan. I like the way you think.
And there is another player.
Gilchrist at six may be too high for him, I think. I don't know, man.
Like, let's see. I'm all for
five bowlers.
Yeah.
I'll never say no to five bowlers, Shan. You know me.
Anyway, whether seven or eight, we'll see where he bats. But
Okay, so back to you. We have Pollock and McGrath, the new ball. So I'm going to go for a bit more like an enforcer type ball. I'm going Alan Donald. I think. Yeah, one of the greatest strike bowlers in the history of Test cricket. I think he does deserve to be on this list. I don't think we'll pick another fast bowler. So we should say, like, Waqar isn't eligible for this because he debuts at the same time as Sachin. It's not after him.
Right.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't think I'd have him even if he was eligible.
Yeah, I think
Dolan is the probably still a better
bowler, no?
I had these three ahead of Waqar in my list also. Because McGrath and Donald ahead of him and Pollock also ahead because of the batting aspect and everything.
Yeah, correct.
Completely agree.
Yeah, I have two picks now.
Yeah.
The final two.
Now you can go rogue.
Yeah, of course. So we have Ponting, Lara, Gilchrist,
and we
Pollock.
Have and only bowlers. So we have to pick only batters
think,
now.
We have already picked, I think, five bowlers. So I think that is a good so thing in a way.
Yeah, so you have to pick batters only.
I have to pick a batter. So I think one is pretty obvious. You know what? Yeah, I think I will go with two. I'll go with Andy Flower and I'll go with Virender Sehwag as my two players. So Andy Flower can bat at number five. We have another keeping option like that. So like either Flower or Gilchrist, whoever is the better keeper can take the gloves. And Sehwag can be the first opener, attacking opener. And of course, there was, I think, a three-way competition when it came to the openers. And like you could argue that one of the openers that we may or may not pick is better than Sehwag as well. Like if we look at the overall record. But I think for the sheer attacking nature of batting that Sehwag
brings. You had three openers. I had only two.
I think it's a three-way.
I don't know who the third one is thinking of is.
Yes, I have no idea.
Or maybe I got the dates wrong in my head or something. Could be that. Anyways, no issues. So Sehwag is...
Now, who
Sehwag
are you thinking of?
It.
We might as well just say it.
Yeah.
Who are you thinking of? Who are your three?
No, it's fine. I think anyway. I got it. I got myself confused. No issues.
No. Who are the three? Like, I need to know.
Yeah.
Like, I need to
even know. I want to know who are the three.
You have to pick, no.
Aray, who are the three, re?
It's obvious. We'll
I'm telling you, I made a mistake. Ones. No, I counted Graham Smith, but I just realized that he retired in 2014, not 2013.
Yeah, he was after him.
That is why I was thinking
three. I was like, have I forgotten someone?
Even I was thinking, like, which other opener is there, you know, apart from two.
Even it didn't strike me that he retired in 2015.
I sort of thought you might go slightly left field and pick Justin Langer or someone, but...
No.
He's eligible as well. I forgot he existed.
He does. Yeah, we'll have an...
All right, so before I do my final pick... Yeah, okay. Before I do my final pick, we'll just take a quick break.
I have traveled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things, the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it, and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny sims and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Crick Picks episode 81, and I was just about to do my final pick. I could go in very different directions, right? Because I could go for an all-rounder in case, like, we think Sean Pollock at 7 is too high. That's where my brain is going for.
No, so Sean Pollock could actually bat at 8 in this team if we pick two more
We
batters.
Need an all-rounder if he does bat at 8 then, right? And that's what I'm thinking.
Exactly. Like, we need five bowlers.
So I got two all-rounders in mind, right? That's what I'm thinking of. And I don't know which direction to go in. So that's what I'm thinking. Who the hell do we need pick for bowling? Okay,
I don't think we need five bowlers, honestly. We have got Pollock, McGrath, Warren, Murli, let's say.
No, we have five
Pollock,
bowlers.
McGrath.
I'm just thinking.
We already have five
no,
bowlers.
I mean,
I'm just thinking.
I'm saying in the 11, we don't need five bowlers. In the 11, in the team we have, the 12th man can always be a bowler. It can be either Donald or Murli, depending on Asia or else.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm think if we like want Pollock at 7, then we just play all 5 and then we can back up maybe someone else. So either way, I still think we need a backup all-rounder. Whether we choose to play him in the team or not is a different story, right? Like the 12th man could change. So I'm probably going to go Chris Cairns as the backup all-rounder. I was between him and Flintoff, right? But I just think that Flintoff had a very high highs, but Cairns was like consistent throughout his career. I think he's more useful as a bowler and a batter to New Zealand than Flintoff was all the time to England, right? I'm more than happy to say that he wasn't as sexy as Flintoff. I think that's fair. But he did trouble Australia regularly from memory, I think, with the bat.
That's an interesting pick. I would have personally gone Flintoff if I was picking an all-rounder.
Yeah, even I was
I don't mind it.
because of the peak, you know, and I saw the 2005 Ashes and he was just so incredible in that. Like, so it's difficult to look past that, even though I know that, you know, he had the 2007 Ashes also after that where he was completely shit. But
you remember?
Yeah, I would have gone, but I know, like, you know, I think Chris Cairns has a decent shout also. But what you have done is you have left the team with only one opener and there is only one pick left. So basically, I could...
You basically have to pick an opener.
I have to pick an opener. Yeah, it is obvious. See, Matthew Hayden is the obvious choice. But do we want a team without Rahul Dravid? Can we just push him to open?
You made Rahul Dravid. You picked Ponting ahead of Dravid. That's on you.
I thought one of you are definitely going to pick Dravid. That's why I didn't realize that.
But we had Ponting and Lara, right? Like, that was the thing. But now that you think of it... I actually don't mind the idea of Dravid opening, to be honest.
I mean, he has a great record opening in England, right? He opened and
he had that 2011 series. I think overall he averages 20. Like 42 or something. I'm not wrong.
Yeah, and for a decent while, he was anyway de facto opener because India was losing an early wicket somewhere or the other.
Correct.
So, yeah,
let's... always an early opener. That's fine.
Yeah. Let's go rogue then. Sorry, Matthew Hayden. I'm picking Rahul Dravid. And sorry, Rahul Dravid, I'm making you open.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
No, just because I don't want a team without Dravid. So, that's
no,
why.
No, I get that. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so it could have been avoided if we didn't pick Ponting. Like, I get why we would have Ponting also, because attacking number three like him is also a very interesting option to have. Plus the peak that
it's
he had.
It's an interesting option. I think Dravid is a better batter than Ponting, but there's not much in between them. Right? Yeah. It's like,
even I think Dravid's like, better,
I think Ponting's peak was better than Dravid's peak.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course, so, easily,
But even Dravid had a great peak, didn't he? Like in the mid-2000s.
Dravid was a very good peak.
I think from 2002 to 2007, if I'm not wrong, or 2006, he was one of the best. Him and Ponting basically were toe-to-toe.
Yeah, he's a better test batter in the 2000s than Sachin is.
Basically, Ponting and Dravid's peaks almost perfectly coincide.
Exactly.
Like, so that 2002 to 2006 period, both of them were just amazing.
Correct.
So.
I think the Border Gavaskar Trophy was like the heights of it, right? Both of them at the peak. Going up against each other at three. The one in Australia, not in India, but I don't think either of them made runs in one of the series.
You mean the 2003-4 series, right?
2003-4, both of them hit a double century.
Yeah, I think that's the both of them were at the heights of their powers, right? Yeah.
Dravid, of course, and even Ponting. Weirdly, so the I don't final remember team much of Ponting from that series.
Okay, we have Dravid and Sehwag opening the batting. Very rogue choices, but we have Ponting 3, Lara 4, Flower 5. So either Gilchrist at 6 and Pollock 7 or Gilchrist 6 and Cairns at 7, whichever way we go. I'm just like, I'd advise us to go the Cairns route because I still think 7 is too high for Pollock.
I mean, Pollock averaged what, 32 odd at number 7? So I still think that...
You could argue that. I think it's
I mean... See,
what up to you guys? What do you want to go? Which route do you want to go?
I think we want to go five like high quality bowlers.
And I'm okay with batting, Pollock at
we have five high quality batters
with Pollock at 7. I think just five bowlers.
Pollock at 7 isn't very outrageous for me, to be very honest. I think
let's do it. So Gilchrist 6, Pollock 7, Vaughan 8. I forgot who's next. So Alan Donald 9, Murli 10, and Murli 10, McGrath 11, and Cairns as the 12th man.
Yeah,
perfect. Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
Okay, so the individual, I'll read the individual choices. Saurabh picked Lara Ponting, Sean Pollock and Rahul Dravid. Solid softball. All right, I've gone McGrath, Murli, Donald and Cairns. All right, and Cheyenne's gone Vaughan, Gilly, Flower and Sehwag. He's gone a very different route. There's no correlation there whatsoever.
Yeah.
I actually think Andy different Flower time. Was the rogue pick, you know.
But at number Andy five, Flower, I think
Flower deserves to be here.
Yeah.
He deserves to be in the conversation for sure, but he has strong he's in your team
I
mean the one way you could do it is you put Dravid at 3, you put Ponting at 4 and you put Lara at 5, but that way you could also argue that maybe you're not maximizing each of them.
Or, I had Ponting 3. No, I had Dravid 3, Lara Dravid 4, Ponting 5.
But isn't Ponting 5 a bit too low? Like, he's known as a number 3. I mean, that's what I was
thinking. Any of these guys at 5 is too low. So I have to push one of them down. So
I think Lara 5, I think I can see it. But Ponting at 4 just feels wrong to me.
You want Lara at, like,
Ponting at 4 or
at 5.
I can see Lara at 5. I think that I can at least be like, okay, I can see the argument. But like,
okay.
Yeah. So I think with number 5, I think unfortunately, so with number 5, unfortunately, I think Steve Waugh and Chandrapal are both not available for this, so we can't go that route.
Because Steve Waugh played before Sachin, and I think Chandrapal played
after him, right?
Yeah, 2015. Yeah.
So the guys I had as at 5-6, the competitors were, VVS was there.
Yeah, even I thought.
Mike Hussey
is a good one. Yeah.
And
when did Mike Hussey play his last test? I thought about him for ODI.
He retired, I think, 1 month before Sachin.
Inzi is 2007, right?
Yeah. Even Inzi would be one of the options.
I
blame Cheyenne for this, I think.
Yeah.
No, but it's fine. Like, I have no issues with Flower at 5. I'm happy with that. And
no,
now
it's not Flower. I think
options.
You could have gone for... No, you could have gone one of them ahead of Gilchrist. That's what I think. You probably were doing it again, I think.
No. I think I'm fine with this team.
That's right. I don't agree.
Has a proven record. Like, he is a proven number 5.
I'm not saying that. I think Flower is 5. And I had him as 5 as keeping. I just think a number 6 could have been another batter instead of Gilchrist, if you were doing it that way.
But which
like
batter?
Like a Hussey or VVS style batter.
But
like VVS,
Hussey,
one of those guys.
They are not better than Gilchrist, though.
Yes.
Who's better?
Yeah, they
Gilchrist?
Are. Of course they are.
VVS is not better than Gilchrist.
Inzi is better
than Gilchrist.
Inzi is better than Gilchrist. Of course he's better than Gilchrist.
You could argue, but for Inzi, it's too low, no?
No, Inzi was number 5 or 6 most of the time, no? Or was
he
a 4?
He was 5.
Would have been a 4,
no? Actually, he was a 4 also.
Number 4.
I think VVS is better at 6 than Gilchrist.
Mike Hussey would be better than Gilchrist at 6.
Yeah, easy.
But I think if I had to pick one keeper between Gilchrist and Flower, I'd pick Gilchrist.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying.
I think if we had a better number 5, I don't have an issue with that. I just don't think we have another better number 5. That's the problem.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Inzi
could be the better number.
I think
Inzi
is more number 4 or 5.
At 4 mostly though. 4 98 innings,
yeah,
5 49 innings, and 6 28 innings. So I don't know.
What about,
I don't think him as a number 6.
What about Hussey?
I think that's fair.
Hussey would have been, I think, at 6.
I know he's best 6.
But I still think Gilchrist at 6 is fine. I don't have any issues with it mostly. And see, with the batting that we have...
I don't have an issue with it, right? I just think that, like, if Gilchrist at 6 and Pollock at 7 is making me nervous, that's the issue.
It's not making me
but
nervous.
But we have the bowling attacks to keep them to just 200.
That's why I'm fine with it. I'm more than happy.
How many all-time greats do we have?
Like, I'm more than happy with this.
Let's just start counting that.
I like the fact that all of us, like, just went bowling heavy with this. I like the way we think.
Yeah,
because usually with Bairam and Estelle and Jared, it's just always batting deep in this quick pick. So I'm glad we went the bowling heavy route this time.
And I don't think I have the numbers for this ready in my, like, I don't know the numbers as such, but I think Gilchrist does have some good innings when he has an early entry point. Like, I think especially he has that 100 in India, doesn't he? When he comes in at like 5 for 90 or
something.
I
thought it was a 3. Was it not a 3?
No. Gilchrist has 100 in India in 2001 in the first test in Mumbai. He came in at 99 for 5. And he
exactly, 5 for
90
odd, that's what I was saying.
Yes.
Oh, you went all Australian because you're talking about Australians. 5 for 90 and all. Is But... but that was an incredible innings, and after that I think he had 0-0-1-0 type scores.
0-0-1-1 finally. That is a point.
Gilchrist has 200s in England, India, right? And then
in
he's
India.
Just nothing either side of it.
He has a 49 also, but apart from that, couple of 26s. Yeah, it's the Karun Nair thing, you remember all that, right? Once he crosses 26 he's dangerous.
No, but now it's
now
a new
that
figure,
is also
right?
Not
once
true
he, once he crosses 31,
once he crosses
dangerous.
31.
31, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
All right. I think that should be enough for this episode. Thank you so much for watching, guys. All right. Make sure to subscribe to goodareas.co. It's the one-stop shop for Good Areas everything. And thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, So support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.